You have your Bibles. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. If you're new here, my name's Jeremy, and we are just walking through the book of Galatians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we're in chapter 5, verses 1 to 15 here, and there's something in these verses that one of the commentators I was reading said, and I agree, okay, that when this letter was read to the churches in Galatia, when they got to this sentence, it would have caused an audible gasp in the place, okay, because of what Paul says here. And I don't think Paul is trying to be a shock jock. I think he's just, he is trying to get their attention as to how silly what it is that they have started to believe is. And the Galatian controversy is that there are some Judaizers who have come to this region and told these Gentiles, okay, in the Bible there's the Jews and there's everyone else. Everyone else are called Gentiles. Told them that before they could become Christians, they had to first become Jews, i.e., they needed to be circumcised, okay? And that is what he's fighting back against over and over and over in this letter, and no different here in these 15 verses. We'll read these verses, and then we'll walk through and talk about them together. Verse 1 is really important, okay? He says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision..." That is, if you add to the good news of the gospel that in not just trust in Jesus and you can be saved, but if you add to that, if you say that you have to be circumcised, then what you do is you make Christ, he says, of no advantage to you. And here's why. Because I testify to you that every man who accepts one part of the law, circumcision, is now obligated to keep the whole law. Okay, this is what his whole argument is. Verse 4, and again, if you do that, please don't take verse 4 out of context, okay? Because if you were to pluck verse 4 out of the context, you can make it say something that it doesn't say, okay? There are people that do this that say that Galatians 5:4 means you can lose your salvation, and they don't know how to read, okay? Because that's not what it's saying at all, okay? If you read freaking verses, right? Verse 3, I testify again to everyone who accepts circumcision, he's obligated to keep the whole law. And if you do that, then you have severed yourself from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. If you think that you can be justified by the law, then you have no need for Jesus. Like, that's what you're saying. It's what he said in Galatians 2. If righteousness can be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You who would do that, he's not saying you've done that, but if you did do that, this is a warning. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you've walked away from grace. You've fallen away from grace. This doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. He's saying, this is a warning saying, don't do this. If you would seek to be justified by doing good works, then when you do that, you are setting aside the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a danger. Don't do that, okay? Verse 5, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." Okay, verse 7. "You are running well, and you guys were doing so good." He says, who hindered you? Who tripped you, okay? Or if you're a kid of the 90s, who tagged you, right? You were doing good, and somebody... Anybody used to play that game when you were a kid? Okay? Sorry, Beth, I'm sure you did. Who tagged you, who tripped you? What happened? This person who did that is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Verse 12 is the harshest verse in the New Testament, maybe. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here's a good verse for 2026 and social media. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. If you like to fill in blanks, I got a few for you. And really, man, if all of this comes back to verse 1 here, okay, and this point here, is that Christ has set us free for freedom, not for slavery. He has not set us free from the bondage of sin to bind us to something other than Jesus. We're free. You've been set free. You ought to be able to breathe that in, okay? You've been set free from your sin and from the law, but that freedom is for freedom's sake, not for slavery's sake. Jesus says in John 8, he answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." Verse 36, "So if the son sets you free, then you're free indeed." That's good news, man. If the son has set you, you put your faith in Jesus and he set you free, you're free indeed. You're free, period. 2 Corinthians 3. No, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, okay? I feel like we say this over and over. You are free, right? You are now, if you're in Christ, you are free. Go back and read verses 2-4, real quick. And this is the warning, okay? Verse 1, hey, you've been set free in Christ Jesus, so stand firm in your freedom and don't give yourself over again to the yoke of slavery. And then the warning. I'm telling you, Paul says, if you accept circumcision, and that, I know it's not circumcision for you, it's other things for us, but if you do that, then Christ is of no advantage to you, he says. I testify that every man who accepts circumcision is then obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ if you do that. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. He set you free not to enslave yourself again, okay? And here's the deal. This is the next point there. Legalism does not improve the gospel. Legalism doesn't improve the gospel. Legalism strips or empties the cross of its power for you. I hear people say this, okay? I hear people say, like, well, I know the Bible. Like, there are people in my life and probably in your life who will take something the Bible says and they'll take it a step further as if they're improving the Bible. I don't know if you know people like that. But they'll be like, well, if the Bible says this, then I'm going to do this. I'm like, why? The Bible doesn't need it doesn't need a 2.0 from you. Like, why would you think you should do that? Legalism in any form, it strips the gospel of its power, whether it be at circumcision or something else. We got to be careful. We don't let that slip into our hearts, and we don't allow people to add something to the gospel. And I feel like I've said this for 6 straight weeks, okay? There are people on every side of every issue that will try to bind your conscience to theirs by telling you, well, if you're really a Christian, then you will think about things this way, or you'll do things my way, right? That's what they're doing. Here's the danger there, okay, is this. It's the first point. Jesus plus anything is dangerous, okay? Jesus plus anything is dangerous. Be it circumcision, conservatism, liberalism, any of the isms, okay? Jesus plus anything is dangerous. And we, in every single form, have to say no to that. We have to say no to that. Because when we do that, listen, that's what he's saying to these people. You are stripping the cross of its power. Christ is of no advantage to you if you add something to him. His all-sufficient merit has been given to you. You just sang it, okay? All-sufficient merit, it means you ain't got nothing he needs. He's given you everything you need, Okay? Jesus plus anything is dangerous. Jesus plus nothing is all you'll ever need. Okay? It's all you'll ever need. And I need you to remind me of that at times, and I'm going to remind you of that. That we have to be careful, church. We have to be careful that we don't add something to the gospel in such a way that we take away from Christ and make Christ of no advantage to us. That is exactly what was happening in Galatia. That is exactly what is happening in Northport if you're not careful. Okay? We got to be careful of that. Nothing, adding nothing to the gospel, taking nothing from the gospel either, but adding nothing to it. And just the whole falling away from grace thing, I will address it not meaning you losing salvation and telling you it's just a warning that we shouldn't drift away from trusting Christ. And the reason I can say that with such boldness is because of what Jesus says, okay? Jesus says in John 10, I would always point you to these verses when it comes to an issue like salvation. Okay, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. I've told you this 100 times. I hope I tell you another 1,000 in the next 40 years, however long I'm here. But when we think about salvation, a lot of times we think about salvation, that I've trusted Christ. We think about it in such a way that we think that I've reached up and grabbed hold of God. Like I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, which is true, okay? But me reaching up to grab hold of God is not how the Bible speaks of our salvation, okay? It doesn't speak of it as if I've reached up and grabbed hold of God. Rather, that God has reached down and grabbed hold of me, right? Like that's how Jesus speaks of salvation here. He says, look, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. And hey, ain't nobody taking my sheep away from me. No. And my Father as well. I and the Father are one, right? He's greater than everybody. No, nobody's taking my sheep away from me. Look, if one of my favorite John MacArthur quotes is that if I could lose my salvation, I would. But I can't. Not because of what I've done, but because of who is holding on to me, right? Like we need to rest in that. And that's what he's reminding them of here. Verse 5, he says, since that's true, verses 5 and 6. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Instead of this legalism that doesn't improve the gospel and empties the cross of its power, what we ought to do is that while we're waiting for Jesus to return or call us home, we should love each other, okay? I love that Paul's like, stop all that crap. Just love each other. If just love each other, you know what would be great? If you loved each other. That would be awesome, right? Faith working through love. And I would tell you, okay, next point there is sometimes you have to work to love some people. You got people in your life that you have to work to love? I kind of told you this last week. If you don't have people in your life that you have to work to love, you're probably somebody in somebody else's life that they have to work to love, okay? And when you have people in your life like that, you know what you need to do? You need to love them anyway. And those are, I hate those words. I don't want to do that. But I have to because I want to honor Jesus with my life, right? And if you want to honor Jesus with your life, you don't get a pass on people that are hard to love. I've read the book. I've tried to find it. It's not in there. It actually says the opposite. It says we need to love those people. Romans 12, okay, says this. And I love that Paul wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, and it's still so relevant. Let your love be genuine. Meaning, like, don't fake it. Don't act like you love somebody. Love them. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And then verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, try to live peaceably with all people. Look, there's going to be people that you can't live peaceably with. But as much as it depends on you, you should try to live peaceably with everyone. It's the call for Christians, right? It's what he's telling them to do. All right, verse 7. These are fun. He's like, man, you guys were doing so good. What happened? Who gagged you? Who tripped you? Who did that to you? What happened to you? This person is not from God, he says. This one that is causing you to stumble is not from God. And you need to be careful because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. He says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever it is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Here's what he's saying here. We must remain vigilant to guard against false teaching. Okay? Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay? Or the Alabama example of that would be, if I told you I made chocolate chip cookies, okay, but it had a little bit of dog poop in it, would you eat the chocolate chip cookies? Now, I know some of you guys are like, how much? But that's the danger of false teaching. Right? It's like, it doesn't take much to ruin it. Like, any. Right? You got to be careful of it. You got to be a little bit of leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Okay? So this is, I think that is why Paul uses such harsh language at the end here. Because he's like, man, if you let just a little bit in, it can ruin everything. And so you have to be vigilant to not allow any in. Yeah, don't allow this just to continue on. When false teaching shows up, okay? And look, it's the reason why we're doing this Wednesday night TikTok Jesus thing, okay? It's because we want to help you know your Bibles and know how to know when something's wrong because we watch people, okay? I watch people on a regular basis shipwreck their faith because of a little bit of leaven. Like they listen to something that sounds close to being right, but it's not right at all. It uses Bible words like circumcision or whatever, but it's not the faith of our fathers. It's not the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they go down a rabbit hole and they shipwreck their faith because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. It trips people up. It's not from God. It removes the offense of the cross, Paul says here. Right? Like when people tell you things to try to make the gospel more palatable to unbelievers, Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. When people think we're dumb for believing this, okay, it's foolishness to them. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Like, we're not talking about, we don't want to ever make the gospel more offensive than it already is. The gospel is offensive as it is, okay? Because at the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're telling people that you are a sinner and you deserve God's wrath and to go to hell because of your sin. And God sent his son to die in your place so that the wrath that you rightfully have earned would be placed on him and not on you. But where does that start? You have offended God and deserve to go to hell. Do you have any questions? Right? I mean, like, that's offensive. There's an offense in the message of the cross, and that's okay that there is. But we don't need to lessen that, okay? And what Paul says here at the end about, you know, cutting it off is how, my PG version of that is, do you understand how absurd this is? Like, if you think cutting part of something off would get you close to God. What if you went the whole way? He's like, I mean, that is an absurd thing that he's saying there, and he's doing it on purpose. He's going, like, do you understand how stupid this is? That you think that circumcision would get you close to God? That is, and he's really arguing here, you don't actually believe that, because if you did, you know, you would do what the legalists do, you would take it a step further, right? But you don't do that, because it's absurd. It is absurd to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ here. This is what he is saying to them. And then he says in verse 13, he reminds them. He starts out in verse 1, for freedom you've been set free, gets to verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, right? He's like, come on. You're free. Don't, like, you see how stupid that is. Don't believe that. You've been called to freedom. But don't use your freedom, he says, as an opportunity for the flesh, but use your freedom to serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You should love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Christians, last point there is this. Christians should use their freedom to serve one another. Not as a license to sin. Okay? So like when we say we're free in Christ, we're not free just to do whatever we want to do. We're free to follow him. We're free to trust him. We're free to know that his ways are better than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. This freedom is not a license to sin. That would be, the big 75-cent church word for that is licentiousness. So you got one ditch would be legalism, that you have to do these things for God to love you. Another ditch would be licentiousness. That is that we have a license to sin, that it doesn't matter what I do because God's going to forgive me anyway. Both of those are gospelists, okay? And we want to stay out of both ditches. We don't have a license to sin now that we're free. We're free to follow him. We're free to love him. We're free to trust him in everything, with our marriage, with our life, with our money, with everything. We can trust God. We are free, though, the next one is, to love one another, right? We're free to love one another. That's what he says here. And we're also, last one, we're not free to bite and devour one another. This word devour literally carries a picture of a wild animal, like just devouring another animal. And that applies online, okay? My pastor in college used to say, this is 20-something years ago, that's how old I am, but I remember him saying it like it was yesterday. He said, Christians are one of the only species that eat their own. Christians are one of the only species that eat their own. I mean, I would just say to you, the world is watching. The world that we want to know that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer is watching us. What are they seeing? Are they seeing a people who love one another? Are they seeing something they might want to be a part of? Or if they're like, if this is how they talk to each other online, no thanks. I don't think I want any of that. I mean, we got to be careful. We don't wrong our neighbor. Romans 13 says this. Owe no one nothing except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other commandment is summed up in this word. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. You love one another. Just as I've loved you, you should also love one another. By this, all people know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So here's the invitation, okay? To stand firm in Christ's freedom. That you would not be dragged or blown by the wind in one direction or another that would cause you to add to or take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would be free in Christ and then free to love each other, right? And my prayer is that if you don't know Jesus, you would hear this and you'd put your faith in him. And if you do know him, that you would be encouraged by the faith and encouraged by the freedom you have in Christ and then encouraged to to not do those other things and then to love one another. Man, I don't know what the Spirit's leading you to do, but I encourage you to ask the Spirit how you should respond to this word, and then you'd be obedient to whatever he tells you to do. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for an opportunity to be together again and to study it. And God, I do pray for your people here. God, help us to be a people that are standing firm in the freedom we have in Christ, and also not being blown and tossed by other things. And God, help us to love our brothers and sisters, even those that are hard to love, even those that we don't agree with on everything. Because we have more in common in Christ than we have at odds in the other things. And so, Lord, I pray that we could, can't do anything about all the other churches, can't do anything about all the other Christians, but we can control what we can control. So help us, as your church here at Capstone, seek to live out these things and to be a kind of people that are different because of Jesus. And Lord, whatever your Spirit leads people to do, I pray they'd be faithful to respond however you would call them to. In Christ's name, amen.